my brat of a cat, which, apologies for the rhyme, literally like stepped on my mouse, which, or my trackpad, which I didn't realize, and cut that off. And I don't know how many minutes I continued to talk, but into a thing that wasn't recording, which, like, there's a level of futility to this whole endeavor when it is recording, but that is certainly amplified once you take it to the point where, in fact, no one is listening because it is no longer recording. But oh well, here we are. We have to lead the life that we lead, you know. But anyway, I don't know. I didn't have any particular liquid gold that was in the earlier take. So I guess we're just going to rock and roll with it. I opened up the earlier take talking about how I got nothing and how maybe, hey, who knows, maybe the ones that I got nothing are the ones that are actually the most interesting, because it means that I have to actually genuinely pull through the stuff that is whatever in the back of my mind. But when I said that I got nothing, that was not entirely true. I think there was part of me that knew that, like, I'd probably end up talking about the fact that I'm watching the James Bond movies right now, because nominally this has become a pop culture thing. I don't know whether it's become a pop culture thing as much as, like, it as personal diary. It is a thing that is in part personal diary, but I'm also less willing to share the, like, true weird conflagrations of personal thoughts that I was apparently willing to share on a microphone in college when I was a particular brand of depressed. I am no longer willing to do that, whether for good or for ill. And also, what do I do other than work and consume pop culture? I don't know. Not much. But I'm watching the James Bond movies. I'm building off that thing that I did last year, which was, I don't know, maybe a questionable decision, maybe not, but watching all the Marvel movies in order. But oh my gosh, is it a walk in the park to watch the Marvel movies compared to watching some of the James Bond movies? Spoiler alert, a lot of them are bad. And unlike the Marvel movies, well, there's no particular way that, like, the Marvel movies were a core franchise to me the same way that, like, your Star Warses were, or even, like, I don't feel so much about the current modern DC movies, but, like, Batman as a concept and DC Comics as a concept, that was something that I, like, vibed with a lot more than Marvel. So even then, like, Marvel was not my, wasn't even as much of a franchise thing in my childhood the way that DC and the way that Batman in particular was. But even with all that being said, I still watched most of the Marvel movies as they would come out of the course of the last decade, and their batting average is pretty solid. Like, mostly, you know, at worst, B minuses, and then you have your Incredible Hulks that are unmitigated disasters, and your Iron Man 2s that are bad movies, but, like, maybe that's the soft spot that I got into after watching all of them in order, where, like, even Iron Man 2, I started to think, like, oh, this is a bad movie, but, like, there's some glimmers of fun they were getting out of Sam Rockwell's performance and the first introduction of Black Widow and little bits and pieces about Mickey Rourke. But no, it's a bad movie. It's a bad movie. There is no question about it. I can feel my voice straining a little bit because of the way that I'm, like, not properly projecting and sinking into a bit of a vocal, not a vocal fry so much as, like, just not supporting the voice, but whatever, we're gonna power through, which is not the right decision. The right decision is, in fact, to start supporting, but whatever. I'm watching the James Bond movies. The James Bond movies are bad. Most of them, a lot of them, which, and so one, the quality floor is much lower, and I think the quality average is much lower than was the case with watching the Marvel movies. But I also, like, even where there's the Marvel movies that, like, while it is not a franchise that I was particularly plugged into as a child, well, it's not a franchise that exists as a child, but, like, Marvel as a concept is not a franchise I was particularly plugged into as a child. James Bond, even less so. I had seen GoldenEye on a DVD that I watched in my parents' room, because I think that was the DVD player that was working at the time. I watched GoldenEye. The reason why I watched it in my parents' room was because it was the day that I was homesick, and so I was, like, in their room because I was homesick and got to watch TV, but wanted to stay in a bed, so I stayed in theirs, which, in retrospect, is a wonderfully sweet thing for them to do. I'm also actually, though, not 100% sure if they were actually home at the time. It might have been one of those, like, you know, mid-middle school things, or where it was like, okay, you're old enough that you can, like, stay home and just, like, stay home and do your thing. I don't 100% remember. Either way, saw your GoldenEye, saw your Craig movies, and liked them. Craig movies are fun, whatever. But then tried, I think it was right before Spectre was going to come out, like in that summer before the winter release of Spectre, that I wanted to try and do what I'm doing now, which is watch all of the Bond movies in order. And I made it literally one night where I watched Doctor No. I was like, Doctor No, you know, pretty good, interesting, and it's weird, and a weird movie. Like, Doctor No, this is also true on my rewatch, is like, it's a weird movie in how much of the things that are tropes of James Bond come through and are present in that movie, but they come through and are present in that movie in as just a part of a movie. Like, Doctor No is just a movie that introduces some of these things as things within the movie. They don't become tropes until later. A la that idea from, I believe it's in, I think it's in Her Body Himself by Carol Clover, which, side note, I bought Men, Women, and Chainsaws for the Kindle, so that I can read it on the phone, and I can be that guy at the function that's, be that guy at the gig that is reading Men, Women, and Chainsaws on his phone while waiting for the band to start. Anyway, in Her Body Himself, I believe that there's I think that it was Carol Clover, and I think that it was in, and if it was Carol Clover, I would have encountered it via Her Body Himself, where she talks about the idea of there's the things that originate the tropes of the genre, and then there's the things that consolidate, sort of crystallize, that really set in stone what those tropes really mean. Usually they do it via going, like, really over the top in it, and it's that sort of imitator that pulls forward these things and becomes the real thing that everyone references when they are referencing the tropes. In her case, talking about the slasher, yeah, it must have been Carol Clover, because it's all about the slasher movies. But in her case, she's talking about how a lot of the tropes that are present in the slasher movies, they get originated. You could argue all the way going back to, like, Peeping Tom and Psycho, but really started to come to the fore in, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Halloween. They don't become crystallized. They don't become, like, a key part of the form. And they don't become, like, defined in this way where it's like a checklist that you can walk down until you get to Friday the 13th. And then she sees Friday the 13th as one that really crystallizes, here is what the slasher movie is. Here is what the tropes of the slasher movie are. We've consolidated all the things that were coming in Texas Chainsaw and Halloween and, to a lesser extent, Psycho and Peeping Tom, and we are packaging it all together such that other people can use it in subsequent films, including the subsequent films of the Friday the 13th series. So things like the killer where brandishes like a melee weapon, something that puts him in close contact, things like the unstoppable force killer, things like the teens who go off and have sex end up being ones who are killed, things like the whole concept of the final girl. So in that same vein, I think you can see a similar progression within the James Bond movies where, and that's been an interesting thought technology that I like to apply to other realms, but within the realm of the James Bond movie, you have your Dr. No's, and then again a little bit later Rush with Love that introduce elements of the tropes of what become the tropes of the James Bond formula, the genteel villain who is, you know, very welcoming and treats James Bond nicely while he's captured, and monologues about the plot, the underground lair, the fancy gadgets, the martini shake and not stir, the Bond James Bond, all that sort of stuff. He gets introduced as part of the and you also the more problematic stuff about, like, the way that Bond girls are introduced and function and exist as a part of the narrative and are treated as a part of the narrative, you have that. What is this? Oh yeah, a minute of deep breathing can help you focus. Yeah, sure, I guess I'm getting animated. Thank you, watch. You have these tropes that are present in Doctor No, but they function just as part of a movie. They don't function as part of the tropes of a broader genre until they then later get crystallized in particular Goldfinger, I think, is the one that I've seen so far that, like, really brings it together and says, like, hey, this is what it means to be a James Bond movie, for better, and in the case of Goldfinger, it's a bad movie and I fucking hate it, for worse. Anyway, what happened when the first time that I tried to watch all of the Bond movies in order, I guess this was 5-6 years ago, in one night I watched Doctor No, I watched From Russia With Love, and I watched Goldfinger, getting progressively drunker over the course of the night while I was in my parents' basement, and watched Dr. No, and I was like, oh, this is interesting, and pleasantly surprised. I can see, you know, you could see and it really mimicked the same experience that I had rewatching it just a few weeks ago. But it's a pleasant surprise of a movie. It's something that you see all these things that just function as part of a regular movie, and that's really surprising because now at this point they've been so ingrained as tropes of popular culture and tropes of the James Bond series. There they exist just as things in a movie, as just parts of a plot and parts of the style that Terrence Young pulls out of Ian Fleming's book. That is the interesting quirk about like this concept of like what are the tropes that like the thing that originates the tropes and things that consolidates the tropes makes it hard for me to 100%. Like, I can see it through the lens of the film. I have not read any of Ian Fleming's books, so it, you know, which one of these are tropes of the books versus things that are tropes that come purely from the film. I don't know. I can't make a claim one way or another on it. But anyway, at least within the language of the film, you see, like, here are the things that are the tropes introduced in Dr. No and then crystallize in Goldfinger. But I watched Dr. No. I was like, oh, this is fun. This is interesting. I then watch From Russia with Love, and From Russia with Love is kind of a low-key masterpiece. It is this weird, like, Hitchcock, to get back to Psycho, this, like, Terrence Young just doing his best Hitchcock, and it actually works really well. Lots of, like, problematic elements, to be clear. Cough, the entire, oh my god, the entire gypsy sequence is, oof, rough around the edges, but overall, and the treatment of Tatiana is not great, but overall, like, it's interesting. It's a stylish movie. It's got, like, great the fight scenes are phenomenal, the shot composition, the pacing of the movie. Like, it's very, very good, and I like From Russia with Love a lot. And then that night I followed up, and I'm like, okay, next up is Goldfinger. And Goldfinger is supposed to be the good one. It's supposed to be the best James Bond movie. It's supposed to be the one that everybody loves. And I watch it, and it fucking sucks. It is so silly and slapdash and mean-spirited and boring and nonsensical and horrifically offensive and just, like, just cannot stand it. Cannot stand it. Especially at that point in the night, I had, again, progressively gotten drunk over the course of watching 3 James Bond movies. And, like, burned me so much that I was like, you know what? No, never mind. I give up on this. I cannot do this. And then proceeded to, you know, watch Spectre 6 months later and liked Spectre a lot. And then last year did the Marvel thing. And then this year I was like, oh, that was kind of fun to, like, watch this series of movies in a compressed time frame and watch them in order and watch them while, like, consolidating my thoughts via live tweeting. I kind of want to do something similar to that again, both because it was kind of a fun and interesting experience to be able to, like, think of an entire series in context, and because I am self-flagellating, I don't have anything better to do. So I did it with James Bond, and thought, like, okay, cool, I want to do the James Bond movies. But, yeah, I don't know, I was dreading Goldfinger, because I was worried, like, is this going to be, I've made this, like, semi-public commitment, and that, like, I tweeted about it, but, like, if I just stopped doing it, who would give a shit? A la the 30-day song challenge on Instagram that I think I got to day 29 and never finished, which is weird call on my part, but oh well, c'est la vie. I got to Goldfinger, and Goldfinger still continued to suck, but whatever, we powered through. Thunderball, I ended up liking a lot. You Only Live Twice, then I didn't like. And then on Her Majesty's Secret Service, fucking, oh my god, that movie, not least of which because Diana Rigg is phenomenal and everything. All of the time. And I also had no idea, like, as someone who was a fan of Diana Rigg, because I watched her PBS mystery series. Oh my gosh, whose name I don't actually remember now off the top of my head, because it wasn't Miss Marple, but Diana Rigg, PBS mystery. The Mrs. Bradley Mysteries is the name of it. But I watched the Mrs. Bradley Mysteries when I was a child, and I very much enjoyed them, and really liked Diana Rigg, and then learned about the Avengers and watched a little bit of the Avengers, and then watched Game of Thrones and saw, oh, holy shit, Diana Rigg's in Game of Thrones, and it's very, very good. And literally at no point until starting on Her Majesty's Secret Service and seeing in the credits that was Diana Rigg, realized that Diana Rigg was also a Bond girl at some point. The kind of thing that then when I go to her Wikipedia page is like, in the first paragraph, it is part of the lead. So that was good. Good move on my part. But Honor Majesty's Secret Service is interesting and very good. And, like, clearly, at least of the, so at this point, I've just finished diamonds are forever. So I'm done with the Connerys and the one Lazenby. Have not gone into the Roger Moores yet. But of everything that I've seen so far, unquestionably, it's Honor Majesty's Secret Service is the one that like creates the mold for what the Craig Bond movies are pulling out of. It is in that style of like much darker, much more fatalistic about who Bond is as a character, and the concept that like tragedy follows him and like that's a bad thing, or that could be a bad thing, even though it is inevitable. And much more pulling from sort of the stylistic things that they do, and much more plot forward compared to some of the more sort of rambling, like, hey, there's a series of sequences that follows one after the other that is really anchored by this charismatic persona of Sean Connery as James Bond. Yeah, I mean, all off From Russia With Love, like, it's Dr. No From Russia With Love and Honor Majesty's Secret Service of the ones that I've seen so far are the ones that are just like movie-ass movies to a degree. It's less that they're like big old James Bond adventures and more that like, yeah, I'm just watching a movie about a character who is the spy that, you know, has some of these James Bondy tropes, but like, yeah, that's fundamentally what it is, in the way that the rest of them are not. They are James Bond movies with the capital J, B, and M. Thunderbolt goes fun because it's just fucking bananas. In a way that weird, I don't know, it's weird, I don't understand 100% why Thunderbolt I love so much when you only love twice. I didn't, in particular. And I also didn't, that's not true. I didn't like Diamonds Are Forever, but I didn't hate Diamonds Are Forever as much as I hated You Only Live Twice and Goldfinger. Goldfinger is still my least favorite out of all the ones that I've seen, so we'll see how that goes. Now we're going to get into, like, I don't know. There's probably going to be some Roger Moore ones that are fun, and it probably will be nice to have a, like, looser tone and a more of a, like, hey, my understanding of who Roger Moore is, it's a little more like, yeah, let's fun, let's drink martinis, let's go, like, again, the looser elements of the Connery persona becoming the foundation for the character, is my understanding, not having ever seen a Roger Moore movie. But, I don't know, whatever, we'll see, it'll be fun. Final season of Game of Thrones is starting. Avengers is coming out. All kinds of good bits of pop culture finality. Oh, actually, one more thing on the subject of James Bond, and also to put even more of a finer point on the fact that, like, Honor Majesty's Secret Service is the thing that, like, the Craig movies are pulling for. Like, there's a degree to which Spectre is, if I'm remembering Spectre correctly, is, like, a pseudo-remake of Honor Majesty's Secret Service. So, yeah, we'll get that out of the way, which, fun, cool. I like Spectre a lot. I think I like Spectre more than Skyfall, but who knows? I've been doing the whole thing where, like, I rank them as I see them, so none of the Craig movies are making it into my ranking yet, despite the fact that all of them I enjoyed more than most, other than, like, From Russia With Love was pretty close up there, but it was, like, From Russia With Love was, I think my original ranking when I started the rewatch, before having rewatched any of them, would have been, like, Casino Royale number one, From Russia With Love number two, and then the rest of the Craig movies, including Quantum of Solace, which I actually liked a whole lot more. I rewatched that again before going to see Spectre and liked it a lot more than I did the first time around. But yeah, who knows? We'll see. But yeah, and some ends of eras, even though the, like, obviously, the Avengers one is like, okay, it's the end of an Avengers era, but at the same time, like, partway through the start of a new one where we have a new Spider-Man and we have Black Panther and we have Captain Marvel and we have Doctor Strange, like, and Guardians isn't done yet. And so, like there's end of one era, but the clear building out of what is going to be the next era. Now, whether the next era is so core focused on these big team-ups, I hope, and I would not be surprised if not, if, like, we've had the 10-year experiment of the deeply, deeply interconnected version, and now we're starting to move a little bit more into, like, hey, we have separate franchises that are doing their own thing, now that we've capped off this, like, Avengers narrative. That, at least that's what I hope. I hope that it is not, hey, we're done with this team up with the Avengers, and now we have a new Avengers team, and the new Avengers team is going to go through a similar Avengers-type story. I hope that's not the case. Now, if the case is, like, there is still that aspect of them teaming up, but they go in different directions with it and play around with it a little bit more, that'd be dope. All for it. Cool. Rock and roll. Like, what does it, like, is there something different that happens when your Avengers team is Captain Marvel, Black Panther, Doctor Strange, and Spider-Man? Probably. Probably something different. They're different people after all, even though, like, and in particular, they have, like, this, no one of them is the exact
match for the original core Avengers crew.
Like they each mix and match different pieces where, like, on the one hand, Doctor Strange is clearly the Tony Starkiest of them, but also like does the magic-y shit of your Thors. Black Panther is like more Captain America-y, but also kind of Thor-y. Same thing with Captain Marvel. So I don't know. It's fun. And then Spider-Man is Spider-Man. It's interesting is what I will say. I'm very excited to see what Avengers Endgame ends up being like. Because I liked Infinity War, and I rewatched Infinity War recently, and was like, this is a fun movie, and amazing that it's a movie that actually works and as half as well as it does. But that's happening. We're going to have a new Star Wars movie in a few months, and by a few months I mean like 7. But we got the trailer that came out a couple days ago, and... I don't know. Pop culture is in a weird zone. It's in a weird zone, and I don't know necessarily what my relationship to it is, if that makes sense. In that, like, I am missing that thing that I'm deeply invested in, and I'm pulling back away from a lot of things that I did have a lot of investment in. I'm interested in Game of Thrones ending, but I'm not like as plugged into it as I was before. I have stopped listening to most McElroy Brothers podcasts. We'll listen to the occasional My Brother and Me and Adventure Zone live show, but mostly have sort of pulled away from that. What are other examples of like pulling away? Still, this is a much more recent one because it only the first season only came out last year, but like only just still have not gotten around to watching the new season of Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and am a season behind on Riverdale. Never finished the last season of Wynonna Earp. All sorts of things that, like, even just as of a few years ago, were much more plugged into, like, hey, here is my thing that I'm super jazzed into. Even last year, like, getting really into the Scream MTV show, and that rekindling my love for the Scream movie series. I'm missing that. I don't think I've found what is that thing that, like, I'm super jazzed into within the world of at least mass culture media. Open question as to how, like, a mass culture, your Chilling Adventures of Sabrina's, your Scream MTV shows, your Wynonna Earps are, but like, and your McElroy Brothers podcasts are, but I don't know. It's like there's stuff that I'm starting to plug into a little bit more. Oh, I guess, I mean, like, I new narrative since whatever, like March of last year that I'm doing this podcast, like Blank Check came in and superseded and became like the podcast that I listened to it far and away. Like, spent literally 6 months of last year listening to every episode to catch up to it. Every episode in their like prodigious multi-year back catalog. And the episodes being like 2 hours long. So like that, I guess, is that is my media obsession, for lack of a better word. Which is interesting. I think, what is interesting about that, though, is there is no one that I know personally that is also plugged into Blank Check the way that I am, which is something that is different from your McElroy Brothers podcasts, where I cannot take full credit for, but at least among my college friend group, I think I was one of the first to start getting plugged into it. And not to say that like I'm the reason that everyone did, but like I think I was one of the first in 2014, circa 2014, to like really start to plug into My Brother and Me and Adventure Zone as it was starting out. And then became at least a spark that got a few people into it that then sparked to getting other people in. So like, yeah, I don't want to oversell any of my own contribution to it, but like, the key thing being, hey, here's the thing that I discovered that then I started to get other people into, and then other people were really into it, and like we had those moments of like being plugged in together, and vice versa then for Game of Thrones, of not necessarily not something that I got other people into, but like other people got me into, and then still we had this like shared cultural experience around it. Scream, a similar thing of getting a couple friends of mine into starting to watch the Scream show. But yeah, I don't know. I was re-listening to some episodes of the podcast that Rachel and I did and hopefully will do again together, and listening to some of the stuff that I was talking about. Like, even at this point, it was several years ago, but it surprised me by, oh, I was that big into that thing and it was that long ago. I feel like it's more recent, but at the same time, like, I haven't plugged into it. And Wynonna Earp in particular was the one that like got me hooked on it. Was like, oh yeah, I'm here. I'm talking about how much I love Wynonna Earp, and I've fallen off of it completely. Some of that I think has to do with the show itself. I was not particularly into the third season, which is why I did not continue with it. But I don't know. It's that weird. The McElroy one is the one that's giving me like the weirdest, most pause, because this was something that was, it's always that thing where it's like the thing that is most definitional to you, the thing that is your, when it's your core pillar favorite thing in media, when that starts to fall to the wayside, that feels odd. And like that feels, leaves you with a little bit of rudderlessness, unless you have, at least for me, I will say, it leaves me with a feeling of rudderlessness, unless I find something that can plug into and take its place. And also a couple of the fact that like the Chris Gethard show ended, and even the last season of the Chris Gethard show, now partly by virtue of the fact that it was hard for me to access it, not having True TV and not having episodes put onto YouTube. But like Chris Gethard show, I didn't follow all the way to the end. I had sort of fallen off of it a little bit, and then went away and is no longer an aspect of my pop culture diet. Again, being like circa 2014, 2015, 2016, like it was like Chris Gethard show and McElroy's were the defining things in my media diet. And now Chris Gethard show is gone, and My Brother, My Brother and Me is not a thing that I really listen to anymore. Other than maybe once a month, once every couple months, truthfully, in terms of an episode that I like listen to and actually pay attention to and don't just have on in the background. I don't know. But there is some fun of like, I also, the counterpoint to that of like trying to start to explore into new areas, and particularly in the last couple of weeks, trying to see about like what are some of the more ephemeral things that I can bring into my media diet. So try to do more of like, hey, this person posted a short film that a friend of theirs did. Let's watch that short film. Hey, here's a weird podcast and one has a couple episodes. Let's listen to that for a little bit. And less trying to find what's the thing that I will be obsessed with for a long period of time that has a large and consistent output of content, and more trying to like take each thing on its own and also try to like bring things into the media diet that poke and prod at the edges and expand things outward. So doing more like reading books, reading plays, stuff like that. Which I don't think is like a better or worse kind of thing. I think it's a different kind of thing. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. The Mabim Bam one in particular is strange. That's the real strange feeling one, where it's like, at least with Chris Gethard show, it's like, okay, the show ended, and so everyone collectively has this gone through this same process that was a fan of it. Another thing that I will say, not for everyone, there were some friends of mine who I later found out, like when I started professing my love for the Chris Gethard show, realized that like, oh shit, they're also like in the tank for this. But Chris Gethard show, another one that I was able to spread to a few different people, which, you know, hair flip and all. But it's the Mabim Bam one, especially because like it's the thing that I fell off of, and other people have not, and I don't know. It's odd, is what I will say about that. But whatever. My cat's being bratty and trying to get my attention again, and it's been half an hour, so that's plenty of time. That's good enough, right? That's all you need. More than you need. I need to get my cat to move away so I can put my trap back so I can actually click the button to make this end.